Morning. Today's Davim Pesachim Dalid. Here in the first parak of Maseches Pesachim, our general discussion has been and will continue to be the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. One has to search for Chametz on the night of the 14th. First half of the parak dedicated itself to explaining that it's the night of the 14th, despite the fact that the Mishnah writes that it was that's the day of the 14th, but the Mishnah is just speaking. Balash and Nikia is just speaking in a very fine language. But the truth of the matter is that Bedika needs to be done on the night of the 14th. That's the first daf of the Masechta. That was daf Beis, daf Gimel. As long as we talked about the idea of Lash and Nikia, so daf Gimel continued its discussion of Lash and Nikia. Person should speak in a refined manner. The Gemara gave numerous stories that speaks to this idea that we should always try to keep our language as refined as possible. With that stated, we are going to continue now in the Gemara. We're on Gimel and Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. And we're going to see three short stories in the Gemara regarding not sharing bad news. Okay, this falls somewhere in the category of keeping your speech refined. And that is that even if you have bad news, and even though it's important to share bad news, but at the same time, however, there's a manner in which you could share the bad news where you don't have to actually say the bad news. Again, this is in line with the idea of keeping your speech as refined as possible. So we are in the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. We're picking it up right where we left off yesterday. A couple lines below that, Rav Kahana. Right, yesterday we just finished one of the most remarkable episodes that the Gemara tells regarding a non-Jew who ate Karban Pesach. That was where we ended off yesterday. We continue. Rav Kahana Chalosh. Rav Kahana got sick. Shadru Rabban LeRabbi Yoshua. Bered Rav Idi. And so the Chachamim sent Rabbi Yoshua to go check on how he's doing. So Amar Lei Zul Baduk, my Dine. And they say to him, go find out what's going on over there. How is he doing? So Aska Ashkechei Denach Nashay. So he got there, and unfortunately, worst case scenario, Rachmanis, he was Nifter. So Kare Lilavushay. So he does Kriya. V'ahadre l'kare l'achare. And then he takes the Kriya and he turns it around. The flipping of the Kriya to the back, we're going to see a lot of that Moed Katan. Okay, it's a little bit unclear the way we wear clothing. It's hard to flip it to the back. But anyway, he did the Kriya and he flipped it to the back. Uvachi. And he cried. Obviously, he was tremendously sad. The Asiva Amru, Amru Le Nachnashe. So, and now he comes back. So the Kriya he put to the back. He turned it around to the back of his back. So that means to say that the Kriya itself is not evident. And when they asked him the question, what happened? And did he die? So Amru Lehu Ana Lo Kaimna. So he says, I'm not going to say. Umotzi diba hiksil. Anyone who lets forth information is a fool. So he says, I'm not going to say. So so in other words, obviously, he was actually sent there to find out what happened, right? His goal, his mission was to report what happened. And so for him to come back and say that Rachmanis, he died, that wouldn't have been bad. On the other hand, as per the lesson of the Gemara over here, okay, a person shouldn't go around and share and spread bad news. So, and there's a refined way to do so. Again, fits in line with what we've been discussing yesterday in terms of speaking with refinement. The Gemara tells another story. Yochanan Chakuka Nafak L'Kriyasa. Yochanan goes out to the village. He's checking on the fields to see whether or not the yield is good. How's the crop doing? Kiyasa Amr Lechitim Nasu Yafos. And so now he comes back and somebody wants to report. Okay, it's not clear in the Gemara who's asking for the report, but it sounds like an invested party. It sounds that way. So Amar Lahem Sarim Nasu Yafos. So again, right now, how did the wheat crop do? So it did poorly. It did really poorly. But he didn't want to say that because, again, it shouldn't be the bearer of bad news. But you got to communicate it. So he communicated it in a somewhat backhanded fashion. He said that, well, the barley's doing great. Now, they didn't love that answer, meaning they understood very clearly that what he was saying is that the wheat crop didn't do well, but they still didn't like his answer. Amar Lei Seu Basar Le Susim Ulechamarim. So why don't you could take that good information and share it with the horses and share it with the donkeys, Dechsev HaSorim VaTeven La Susim Ulerechesh. The Pasuk of Malachim describing how barley is, you know, that's food that's eaten by animals. So my Havale Lamemer, so the Gemara says, okay, but look, he didn't want to share the bad news directly, as we are discussing right now. This is story number two, in terms of not delivering bad tidings. So the Gemara says, fine. But what was he supposed to say? Meaning, he wanted to communicate that the wheat crop was not doing well, but he didn't want to say that the wheat crop isn't doing well. So what was he supposed to do? So Ishtaki Nasu Chitim Yafo. So the Gemara says, I'll give you a couple of suggestions of what he could have said. Number one, he could have said, last year's wheat crop was great. All right, so he didn't have to talk about the barley. He didn't have to, because barley was typically animal food. Inami Adashim Nasu Yafo. So he could talk about the lentil crop and how well that's doing. So the Gemara says that there are alternative ways he could have said it without directly communicating the bad news, and he didn't have to mention barley. Okay, so even within the refined speech, the Gemara is really on a madrega. Even in a refined speech, so the Gemara talks about how it could even be further refined. Okay. Davdala Madalev, the Gemara now tells the following story. Rav, Barchud, Rabbi Chia, Ubar Achte. So Rav was a nephew to Rabbi Chia. Rav was a nephew to Rabbi Chia in both directions, both through his father and through his mother. Now, I'm just going to say it simply. It's complicated. Meaning that under normal circumstances, that means that his father and mother would be brother and sister. And that can't be because obviously they're not allowed to marry one another. It'd be an Isser Kares for them to do so. And we're talking about Rav. So what it means to say is that yes, Rabbi Chia was his uncle both through his father and through his mother, but his father and mother unrelated. Now that obviously is a puzzle. That's a riddle, but it's solvable. Okay, I'm not going to go through right now. Rashi over here touches on it, but really we're back in Yavamos. If I'm going to sit there and explain to you the family tree in terms of how it's possible, suffice to say it's possible, right? Even if currently right now you don't fully comprehend how that could be, it can be. So anyway, so let's just, the facts on the ground. Rav was a nephew to Rabbi Chia. It was his father's brother and it was his mother's brother. Okay? So that, facts on the ground. So the Gemara says, the Kisalk Lahasam Amar Alei, Ivu Kayim. So now Kisalk Lahasam, so he goes over there and he pays his uncle a visit. So the Rav himself traveled back and forth between Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He left Eretz Yisrael, he went to Bavel. Presumably over here he went back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, not clear exactly where the traveling occurred between, but the point is that he traveled. And now he goes and visits his uncle, and Amarlo Aibu Kayim, and his uncle asks him, Rabbi Chia asks Rav, how's your father doing? His father's name was Aibu, right? That's the father of Rav, who is also the brother of Rabbi Chia. So basically what he's asking is, how's my brother doing? So Amarlo Ima Kayamt. Now, the way Rashi understands is Rashi actually offers a couple of pshatim over here, how to understand the exchange. I'm going to present the first approach of Rashi. And on top of that, if you want even more on this topic, you can take a look at Tosfos, where Tosfos gives another way to understand the approach, the back and forth over here. So what I'm going to do is just, for simplicity's sake, is just present the first approach of Rashi. And that is what Rav says to his uncle, Rabbi Chia, is, why don't you ask me about my mother? Okay, right. In other words, with the understanding that Rachmanis' father was Nifter, but he didn't want to say it, so he says, ask me about my mother. So Amalei Ima Kayamt. So Rabbi Chia says, okay, so how's my sister? Okay, and again, I know it's strange, but Rav's mother happens to also be Rabbi Chia's sister. So he says, so how's my sister doing? So Amalei Aivu Kayam. So he says, well, why don't you ask me about my father? Okay, so In the exchange, so it was very clear that Rachmanus, both the father and the mother of Rav, already was Nifter, and this is the first time that Rabbi Chia is learning about the death of his brother and of his sister. So Amalei Lashame, so now Rabbi Chia is an Aval, but not a Shmo Krova, but rather Shmo Rechoka. Okay, when we get to Moed Katan, we're going to see this in much more detail. The basic idea is that if a relative were to learn about the death within 30 days of the death, that's what's called Shmur Rechoka. And then you go through all the regulations, all the rules of Avelos. If, however, you heard it after 30 days of the Misa, so then that's not what's called the Shmur Rechoka. I'm sorry, it's not called the Shmur Krova, but rather that's called the Shmur Rechoka. Under those circumstances, you do an extraordinarily modified version of Avelos, and actually, our Gemara over here is going to give a detailed account of what this extraordinarily modified version of Avelos is going to look like. So Amalei L'shamei, so Rabbi Chia says now to his attendant, Chalos Limaneli, so let's take off my shoes. V'holach Kli Acher L'Beis HaMerchatz. Now, we are going to go to the bathhouse. And so what's going on over here? So first of all, Rashi points out that he is behaving in a very public manner. And the reason why he's doing that is because he wants to teach the Talmidim exactly how to behave in the case of Shmur Rechoka. So not only was he observing the halacha, but he was also using this as a point of education and making sure that the Talmidim understood this is what you're supposed to do. Now, what did we learn over here? Shema min atlas. So the Gemara says there are actually three conclusions to be learned from over here. Number one, Shema min aval also ben yilas asandel, that an aval is not allowed to wear shoes. Okay, it is a bit of curiosity because that's a standard of Avela's practice. And the Gemara over here is talking about in the context of Shmur Rechoka. So, right, I'm touching on a discussion in the Rishonim, but I'm only touching on it. I'm not going to discuss it, but the idea that the Gemara says, oh, you see over here, Nila Sasando, that an Avel's not allowed to wear shoes, that's generally the case by an Avel. So why are we pinpointing that specific to an Avel of Shmur Rechoka? Okay, but anyway, that's number one. Number one is that an Avel doesn't wear shoes, leather shoes. Now, in terms of the niyug of Shmur Rechoka, so it's only for one day. Avelos, obviously, for 7 days, but Shmur Rechoka, it's a modified version of Avelos. Presumably, it is a function of the fact that the pain is not as sharp. Okay, but I don't want to give... Right, it's probably connected to that idea, but I'm sure it's more than that. And then number three, Ushma Mina Mitzvah Yom Kikulo. And on top of that, just like the Aval on the seventh day gets up on the morning of the seventh day, because we use the principle of Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, even in the one-day version of Avelos for the Shmur Rechoka, it's also Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, which means that you sit for a moment of Avelos, and he took off his shoes, you sit for a moment of Avelos, again, moment over here, whatever, a short amount of time, and then you get up, and the Avelos is lifted. And Rashi points out, that's why he went to the bathhouse. Meaning, obviously, an Avel is not allowed to take a bath, not allowed to bathe. And so what Rabbi Chiya was demonstrating is, I'm going to sit in Avelos for a moment. This is Shmur Rechoka, right? Both his brother and his sister died more than 30 days prior to him finding out about it. So this is Shmur Rechoka. So by him publicly now going to the bathhouse, after having sat Shiva for a couple of moments, so that was him instructing, educating everybody else that the Avel of a Shmur Rechoka sits for a moment, gets up, and we say Mitzvah Yom Kikulo even on the one day Avelos of a Shmur Rechoka. Okay, the Gemara is going to interlude right now with not really sure how the next four or five lines have anything to do with what we're discussing. Okay, it comes up over here in the Gemara. It's very clear to see the transition here, less so. Okay, but anyway. The Ahud Amar Dayuna Dine. So a person was a litigious person, right? Anytime he got into any kind of disagreement with anyone, so he basically said, let's go to court. So Shmamina Midan Kase. So you see that he's from Sheva Dan. Dichtiv Danya Dina Moke Hashifte Yisrael. Okay, you go to the end of Sefer Bracious, and there you're going to find as one of the brachos to give it to Dan is Danya Dinamo. So he's going to be in judgment. Okay, the bracha itself is on the judging side, and this particular person is on the litigation side. But okay, anyway, it's from Sheva Dan. Ahuda v'ka'azov amr achiv yama, asisna birasa. So there was a person who was saying, look, if I'm going to build a house, so I'm building it on the beach. I want beachfront property. Okay, good. All right, who doesn't? So anyway, so that's what the person was saying. So badku v'ashkechu demizvulun kase. So after doing a little bit of a background check, they found that he's from Shevet Zvulun. Dichsiv Zvulun Chof Yamim Mishkon. Again, going back to the bracha that was given to Zvulun. So he is by beachfront property. So encrypted into his genetics is this idea that he wants a house on the beach. He must be from Zvulun. Okay. Could be that based on... I'm just thinking about the transitions right now. How do we get into this discussion? It's not even a discussion. It was two quick comments. But presumably it has to do with the fact that speech is very telling and speech is very revealing, right? The Gemara just spent a daf yesterday, right? The entire daf talking about how a person should refine his speech. And so basically, the way you speak is going to be indicative of who you are. And okay, it happens to be, now that I'm thinking about it, I really do see the segue. Speech is indicative of who you are. And so over here, they spoke in certain manners. And so therefore, it was indicative of even what Sheva they came from. And parenthetically, by the way, the Gemara is not telling us historically when this occurred. Presumably these are people that lived around the time of the Gemara. It's really unclear, but if that's so you see that there's representation from other Shvatim that lived amongst Bnei Yisrael. Okay, we generally assume that the amongst the 10 lost tribes, they are 10 fully lost tribes. Okay, from our Gemara over here, one could suggest, but it's a suggestion, that maybe that's not so. Maybe most of the Shvatim were lost, and there's still some representation from the other Shvatim. We continue in the Gemara now, Vehashta, the Kaimalan. So now the Gemara says, okay, so we have now finished one point. I know it's two dapim of Pesachim, but it's really one point. And that is that when the Mishnah says Orla Arbasar, it means the night of the 14th. So the Gemara says, and that's according to everybody, both according to Rav Yehuda and according to Rav Huna, it is the night of the 14th where their mitzvah to do Bedikas Chametz. So the Gemara says, good. So now we have some basic questions. Number one, Hashad the Kamelan de Kulama or Ortahu, Mechti, Ben Rav Yehuda, Ben Rabbi, Meir Chametz, Enu Asar, Elamishay Shaos, Ulamala. So both according to the Sheet of Rav Yehuda and the Sheet of Rav Meir. Now we have not yet seen the Sheetahs of Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. Okay, what they're arguing about is that the rabbinic buffers that are placed before midday in terms of when you're not allowed to eat chametz, and they debate, is it 1 hour or 2 hours? And okay, and we're going to get to it later on. But anyway, but everyone's in agreement that chametz is asur min haTorah only mishesh shaos al mala, only after the 6th hour on Erev Pesach. But nivdok b'shit, so let's do a bedika on the 6th hour. Okay, so here's what the Gemara is going to teach us in tomorrow's daf. And that is that on Erev Pesach, chametz is asur min haTorah at midday. Midday, halachic midday, on Erev Pesach, chametz is asur min haTorah. Now, which isurim are included from midday and onward? So it's a really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Rashi Dibra Maschel, Ben L'Rev Meir, Ben L'Rev Yehuda, chametz eino osur, I'll read from the beginning of the Rashi. The iflagum b'mastisin b'archaka, the avad rabbanala araisa. So Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are going to have a machlokis, and we're going to see it later in the Masechta, right? That they're debating, right? Daf Yad Aleph. Anyway, they're debating in terms of the rabbinic safeguard. How much before midday did they enact that one should refrain from eating chametz? Rashi writes that the chametz eino aser min haTorah beval yira'a uve achila ela mishesha'os misha avru sheisha'os kedeyaf lekaman. So Rashi writes over here, which isurim take place on midday and Erev Pesach? The isur val yira'a and the isur v'achila. Okay, as we noted at the beginning of the Masechta, when it comes to chametz, there are three isurim by chametz. The isur achila, isur hana'a, and bal yira'a, and ownership. So Rashi says over here that on midday of Erev Pesach, min haTorah, the isur of bal yira'a and the isur of achila kick in. Now, I don't think, but I'm not sure, but I don't think Rashi over here is saying this to the exclusion of isur hana'a, meaning presumably it's also isur b'hana'a, also the 6 hour as well. But I do believe, however, that the Chiddush of Rashi is that the Isra Bal Yira'a Bal Yamatza kicks in already at the 6 hour as well. Okay, and we're going to see over the course of the discussion of Chametz on Erev Pesach that despite the fact that it's Asur Min haTorah, but it doesn't carry with it the Isra Karis. The Isra Karis kicks in only on Pesach proper, meaning only on the night of the 15th, there Chametz becomes now an Isra with an Onish of Karis. From midday and on, it's Asur Min haTorah, just not with an Onish Akaris. Okay, but still, Rashi's Mechadesh, that not only is there an Isra Achila from midday and onward, it's also an Isra Bal Yira'a Bal Yamatza. Okay, anyway, right, interesting Rashi, an important Rashi. Let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, good. So from midday and onward, so Chametz is also an Erev Pesach. So the Gemara now asks a fantastic question, and that is, so why don't we do the Bedika on the morning of the 14th? Let me go back, let me read the Gemara, and let's do it as a flow. So the Gemara says, Michti. Bein l'Rav Yehuda, bein l'Rav Meir chametz eino asur el mishesh shaos l'mala v'nivdok b'shis. So do a bedika sometime at the end of the morning on Erev Pesach, right? Proximate to when it becomes asur. Doesn't that make a lot more sense? Meaning, think about what we do. We do a bedika on Erev Pesach, meaning on the eve of Erev Pesach, right? Lel Arbasar, like we learned in our Mishnah. So then what happens is that after having done the bedika, We wake up on Erev Pesach, and we have plenty of time before it's Asur Min haTorah, and we have plenty of time before we do the beer, right? Some people have a breakfast of chametz on Erev Pesach. So, but that's strange. Why not have the bedika being done proximate to where it becomes Asur? It becomes Asur at Chatzos on Erev Pesach. So have the bedika being done somewhat proximate. Now, v'chitem is reason makdim l'mitzvos. And by the way, before I get on to the Gemara's next point, so, and Rashi points that over here, why is the Gemara asking this question right now? Because at least for the first two blot of our Masechta, while we were entertaining the idea that there is an opinion that the Bedika is done in the morning, so then at least we could have said, oh, for that position, it makes a lot of sense. You do Bedika in the morning because the Isser kicks in at midday. But now, as Rashi makes this point, Rashi says that, but now that everybody's in agreement that Bedika is done on the night prior, so you're doing the Bedika well before it becomes Usser. And that's just difficult to understand. Why should that be? Now, V'chitem, the Gemara says, now, what are you going to tell me? Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvos, Nivdok Mitzafra. Okay, so good. So if it's Zrizim Akdim L'Mitzvos, right? An idea that comes up, expresses itself throughout Shas, that when you're that when you are a person who loves doing mitzvahs and you have an alacrity, so what you're going to do is you're going to wake up early to do a mitzvah. Dichsiva v'yom hashmini yimol basar laso. So we know that, for example, the mitzvah of milah is done on the eighth day. And v'tanya kol hayom kula kashu l'milah. The Mishnah Megillah tells us that kol hayom kula, that you could do the mitzvah at any point during the eighth day. Elo shizrus makdim l'mitzvos. But what you should do is that you should wake up early in the morning on the eighth day and do the mitzvah of milah early in the morning on the eighth day. Why? Because of Zrizus, Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayeshkim Avram Baboker. Avram gets up early in the morning. Okay, exactly which Vayeshkim are we making reference to over here? Okay, anyway, point is we have the concept of Zrizim. So fine. So the Gemara says, so now, at best, what I can understand is, so do the Bedika early on Erev Pesach. But to do the Bedika on the night prior, well, that's very strange. There's so much time lapsing between the Bedika and the Isser of Chametz and the beer of Chametz. It's just hard to understand. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak B'Shasha B'nei Adam Mitzvim B'Bateim V'Ora Ner Yafa LeBedika. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak gives an answer which basically has in it 2 points. Number one is that people are home the night prior on Erev Pesach, so people out and about. Right, people work, the people are out and about during the day. But on the nights, people are home at nights. So so number one, it just, the Chachamim on one hand impose the mitzvah of Bedika, but on the other hand, understand that you have to work within convention. And convention is that people are home at the night. That's number one. Number two, va'or v'haner yafa l'bedika. And number two, just from a practical standpoint, we know that when you create light, so meaning to say you're working with a candle or, right, whatever light you're creating. So it's easier for you now to look in the nooks and crannies in the corners of the house. If you're relying on natural sunlight, so there are shadows that are cast and you can't control those shadows. So it happens to be that just also from a practical standpoint, it's better to do Bedika with the light that you manufacture, which obviously can be done at night. I'm Rabbi Hilka Chaitzober Mirabana Loliftach Be'idnei. So Abaye adds a halacha over here, which is that let's say you're a Talmid Chacham, don't start learning on towards the evening on Lel Yudalin. Because what's going to end up happening is that you're going to get caught up in your learning and you're going to forget to do the mitzvah of Bedika. Okay, so make sure that once nighttime hits on the Lel Yudalid, so you make yourself free and available to do the mitzvah Bedikas Chametz. Okay. Abami Neymar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Gemara now is going to be spending the rest of today's daf talking about the mitzvah of Bedika and some very basic questions regarding landlord and tenant. So the Gemara starts off with the following question. Abami Neymar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the following question was posed from Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amaskir Bais Chaver Ba Arba Asar. Let's say you rent a house on the 14th day of Nisan, al-mi livdok, al-amaska livdok, the chamir didehu. So should it be the owner's responsibility to do bedika because the chametz that's in the house belongs to him? Odilma ala socher livdok. Or maybe it is the responsibility of the tenant to do the bedika, the isur b'rishu sakai, because the isur is going to be in his property. His property, meaning that now that he rents it, he has rights to those properties. So the property is shaykh to him, so therefore he's the one that should do the bedika. So the Gemara here asks a really straightforward question, which is, who's responsible to do the mitzvah of bedika? Is it going to be the owner of the property? Is it going to be the tenant of the property? Okay. It's interesting because what the Gemara does not do is the Gemara does not really connect it to why are we doing the mitzvah of bedika altogether. Let's remind one another that we started off our Masechta with a discussion of Rashi and Tosfos, right? On the first line of the Mishnah. So Rashi writes over here, Bodkin. So go back to the second Rashi of the Masechta. Why is there a mitzvah to do Bedika? So Rashi over there writes, Shalo Yavor Allah Bevali Yavor Avali Matzei. so that you don't violate the iser of owning chametz. And Tosfos says, no, that can't be. And Tosfos says that the reason why the Chachamim instructed and instituted the mitzvah of bedika is so that we don't violate the iser of achila. Meaning if we just leave chametz around in the house, even if it's 9 hours, but what we're going to end up doing is that we're going to end up being tempted by the chametz and absentmindedly eating the chametz over Pesach. So it is a precautionary so that we don't violate the iser of achila. Presumably, that Rashi and Tosfos really speak to our question over here, meaning whose responsibility is it to do the mitzvah of bedika? Is it going to be the owner or is it going to be the tenant? Well, if I'm operating with Rashi, so then the answer should be the owner, meaning because it is so that you don't violate the Isra Bayura Bayimatse. Whose chametz are we talking about, by the way? Meaning it's clear in the Gemara over here that we're not talking about the tenant's chametz that he brings in after he rents it. Obviously, that's his chametz. Meaning we're talking about chametz that was left by the owner, right? That's the owner's chametz. It's pretty clear that that's what the Gemara is discussing. So according to Rashi, it should be the owner's responsibility because it's his chametz and you don't want to violate the Isra Bayura Bayimatze, which would be the owner. According to Tosfos, it would certainly seem to be the tenant's responsibility because what's the reason why the Chachamim imposed bedika? So that you don't come to eat chametz which is lying around. Okay, who's going to be tempted by this chametz? It's going to be the tenant, it's not going to be the owner. So, it could very well be that this question is really hanging on that machlokas of Rashi and Tosfos. Okay, anyway, so Tashma, we go back to our Gemara, and let's see the Gemara's discussion about this. Tashma, amaske baisa chavero, ala socha lasos mezuzah. So the Gemara says, so let's see if we could take other halachas that we know regarding a tenant and his obligation, specifically that of the mitzvah mezuzah. It's very clear, the Braisa says it very clearly, that when renting out property to your friend, so it is the tenant's responsibility to put up the mezuzah. So the Gemara says, Hasamam Rav Misharsha mezuzah chovas adarhu. So the Gemara says, okay, that's fine. That doesn't tell us anything regarding the mitzvah of bedika, because when it comes to the mezuzah, that is chovas hadar, that is an obligation on the person who's dwelling. Rashi over here writes, right, really important Rashi. Rashi writes chovas hadar lefi shehi mishamto, because what the mezuzah does is it provides shmira. Uksiv beisecha biaskan nechnas viyotzeba. So when it comes to the mitzvah of mezuzah is not just a mitzvah, it also provides a shmira. Okay, and this idea, right, everybody's familiar with, it's one of the more popular ideas out there, that mezuzah, aside from just simply being a mitzvah, it also, it's protective in nature, right? Everybody knows something, you know, Rachmanis, there's unfortunate news in the household. Okay, check the mezuzahs. Okay, the mezuzahs provide a level of shmira. Anyway, Rashi right here, Pesachim Daf Dalet, so he says it very clearly. So the Gemara says, so that doesn't inform us anything about bedika. Because when it comes to the mitzvah mezuzah, now that it provides an element of shmira, so obviously the tenant is the one who is putting up the mezuzah because he's benefiting from the mezuzah. But as Rashi points out over here, I'm going to just say over the rest of Rashi, but Rashi writes it. But as far as the mitzvah bedika is concerned, right, bedika is a hassle, right? In other words, you got to get down on your hands and knees, and you got to check all the corners of the house. It's difficult. It's a challenging mitzvah. And Rashi writes over here, and quite frankly, do you need to do bedika? I mean, the answer, of course, is yes. But min ha-Torah, what can you do? You could just simply be mevatel. You can nullify the chametz, and min ha-Torah, that's enough. In other words, that takes the chametz out of your possession. And so min ha-Torah, you don't have to do bedika. Bedika is an imposition that was imposed by the Chachamim. It's a mitzvah, obviously, the one now that the Chachamim imposed it, but nevertheless, it's an imposition. So unlike mezuzah, where mezuzah, there is a positive benefit of shmira, but when it comes to bedika is all responsibility. So the Gemara is now going to ask, just because we know what the halach is by mezuzah, does not inform us regarding bedika. So the Gemara says, fine, so hachamai. So the Gemara, going back to the Gemara, so the Gemara says, okay, so who's responsible to do the bedika? So Amalu Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tanina Masker Bais Chavero Imat Shelo Maser Lo Maftechos Chal Arba Asar Ala Masker Livdos Im Mishe Maser Lo Maftechos Chal Arba Asar Ala Socher Livdok. So the Gemara says basically as follows: the rules of who has to do the bedika is going to be a function of when the keys were transferred from owner to tenant. If the keys were transferred from owner to tenant, before the 14th kicks in, meaning presumably the Gemara means the eve of the 14th kicks in. So if the keys were already handed over, so that means to say who's holding the keys when the mitzvah bedikah kicks in. So if it's the tenant, it becomes his responsibility. If, however, the keys were transferred after the night of the 14th, so then it's the owner's responsibility. What's so significant about the keys? Again, another really interesting Rashi. So Rashi says over here, as far as the keys are concerned, Rashi writes, Dibra Maskel Mesiras Mafteach, Hu Kinyan Haschiras. So Rashi says that the handing over the keys, that's the Kinyan, that's the mechanism in which creates the transaction, the acquisition of the tenant, where he, by receiving the keys, received the rights to the house. Okay, that's Rashi. Tosfos is not excited about Rashi's pshat, right? Where else do we find that keys are a kinyan? When it comes to property, what's a kinyan? So shtar, chazaka, kesef. Okay, keys are a kinyan. Where do we find that? Okay, but anyway, Rashi says it very clearly. Good. So the Gemara's answered the question very clearly. Who is responsible to do the bedikah? Is it going to be the owner? Is it going to be the tenant? And the answer is, it's a function of when the keys are handed over. If the keys are handed over before the night of the 14th, tenant's responsibility. If the keys were handed over after the night of the 14th, it's the owner's responsibility. Continuing the Gemara, Bami Neimi Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Next question that was posed to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hamasker Baisel Chaver Ba'arba Asar Cheskaso Badok O Ein Cheskaso Labadok. So let's say the rental agreement started on the 14th day of Nisan. So now, as far as the tenant is concerned, so when he walks into the when he walks into his Airbnb, so can he and the owner is Jewish, by the way. Obviously, this question doesn't get off the ground if the owner is not Jewish. So, and the owner is Jewish. Can we assume that the owner already did the bedikah? Yes or no? So the Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina l'shaylai." The Gemara says, "What a great question." The Gemara says, "It's not a great question. Just ask the owner." A little communication would go a long way. So simply call up the owner and ask him, right? I rented the house. The rental started on the 14th, meaning after the night of the 14th. Did you do bedikah? Right? Do I have to do it? So delaysa lai lishule. The Gemara says, okay, obviously communication is wonderful. And if you can ask him, go for sure, go ahead and ask him. But right now, the owner is simply unavailable, right? He's incommunicado. So the Gemara says, under those circumstances, so what does halacha tell us? What is our presumption? Badak or ain't a badak? So ichuchu lahai mai. So now, does the tenant have to go through the trouble of doing the bedika? That's the Gemara's question. So Amalu Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tenisua. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, I know the answer. We learned it. Akol ne'emanim abir chametz afilu nashim afilu avadim v'afilu ketanim. So the Gemara says, because consider the following brisa, and that is, was bedika done? The report can be given by people who normally are not credible witnesses. So a woman, an eved, a child. So they can go ahead and report whether or not bedika was done. So my time and mehemne. So the Gemara says now, normally they're not extended ne'emanis, and over here we believe them. Why should that be? As we are now on the top of the Amud Beis, la mishum dechezkas abaduk, dechazav dechol chaver mehemetz, so bedikas chametz. So it must be that, because we operate with the presumption that the house was baduk, because everyone is upgraded to becoming a chaver when it comes to the mitzvah bedikas chametz. Right? Rashi on the bottom of the previous Amud speaks to this idea in slightly more detail. That when it comes to the mitzvah bedikas chametz, so people in general are more meticulous. Even those people who are generally more casual when it comes to halacha, but for bedikas chametz, the right people get more excited and people get upgraded to the status of being a chaver. So the reason why we believe a katan, an isha, an eved when it comes to a house being baduk is because the truth of the matter is that their ne'emanus is not necessary because the chazaka is baduk. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Detanya, and we're a second line on Dalam and Beis, we learned in a brisa. Chavish emeis v'inich megura malei aperos, afilo heim b'nei yoma, marein b'cheskas mesukanim. That when it comes to a person who is a chaver, meaning somebody who is meticulous regarding how he follows halacha, and Rachmanis, he died at the day of where he collected some produce from the field, some fruit from the field. So the chazaka is mesukanim. He took off Trumas HaMaisos. A chaver takes care of halacha immediately. Now, admittedly, the brisa is regarding a chaver, but the point is that what the Gemara is trying to argue is that when it comes to the mitzvah bedikas chametz, everyone has elevated status of being a chaver. And so therefore the presumption is that the bedika was done. So the Gemara says, okay, so then, but maybe over here the reason why we're saying that the house is baduk is because we have the reports of these people. So the Gemara says, Atu Amira Dahani Midi Mashasha Isbe. So the Gemara says, great, we have the reports of these people. As far as Ne'amanus is concerned, they don't have Ne'amanus. So what good is their report? So Elamai Dechaskasa Baduk. So Hai Hakol Ne'amanim Kol Habatim Mecheskas Bedukim Barbasar Mi Baile. So the Gemara says, okay, so what do you want to tell me? You want to tell me it has to do with Chazaka. So if that's true, I'm going to revisit the Braisa. The Braisa on the bottom of the previous Amud says, Hakol Ne'emanim. Clearly the Braisa is making this all about Ne'emanus. Meaning, if the Braisa is telling us that this is a referendum on Chazaka, why doesn't the Braisa use the language of Hakol Abatim Bechezkas Bedukim? The houses are Bechezkas Baduk. That's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa is making all this about the Ne'emanus, the credibility. So it clearly has to do with what the Isha, what the Eved, what the Katan are saying. So Elamai Mishum Amira Dahane. So and now you're telling me it's that because they are saying that it's Baduk, that's why we now know that it's Baduk. It's the house has been examined. Halo Amre Hane Lo. So and that means to say now that had they not said anything, so then the house would presume not to be Baduk. Tif Shemine Dein Chazakaso Baduk. So the Gemara says, okay, so now you're arguing the other direction, meaning it's only because they say that the house was baduk that we believe them, for reasons which we're going to explain. We haven't explained why yet, but for reasons that we're going to explain, they're given credibility in these circumstances. So the Gemara says that's fine. So then, but you're also now telling me that if they don't say anything, then the presumed status of the house is that it's ain o baduk, right? So the Gemara says lo. So the Gemara says no. La olam em lecha cheskas baduk. So the Gemara says here's what we're going to say. Generally speaking, a house, when you start the rental on the 14th, and the owner right now is incommunicado, because otherwise, just ask him, and he'll tell you. But right now, the owner right now is just simply, whatever, just not within communication. And so what does halacha presume? So the Gemara says halacha presumes that the owner of the house did the mitzvah of bedika. V'hacha b'mayiskina. Now, as far as the Braisa is concerned, because the Braisa does confuse us, the Braisa says that a report given by a woman and a katan, so they're going to be believed for reasons which we haven't explained yet, but they're going to be believed. Why do I need their testimony, right? Put that in quotes. Why do I need their testimony? In other words, if the house has a cheskasa being baduk, so they don't need to say anything anyway. So we're a little bit confused, right? So the Gemara says, the v'hacha b'mayiskin and demuch zaklan de lo baduk. So the Gemara says, look, the default is that a house is baduk. The house is examined. The owner of the house did the mitzvah bedika. That's the default setting. Now, if there's anything that would indicate otherwise, right there, for some reason, we now have reason to suspect that the house is eino baduk, right? I'll give you a simple example. You walk in and you see bread. So there is now really good concern. There's really good suspicion that the house is eino baduk. Now, v'kamei hanei badkane. Now, along comes a woman, or an eved, or a katan, and say that the house is baduk. So So now you would have made a really good argument. Look, we start off with the presumption that the house is baduk. We now have reason to suspect that the house is ain't a baduk. So now the chiddush is that if any of these people who normally don't have ne'amanus, if they tell us the house is baduk, they're believed. Kamash malan. Kevin de bedikas chametz mid rabbanan hu de mid araisa bebitu ba'am asagale hemnu rabbanan bid rabbanan. So the Gemara says, look, Bedikas Chametz is the mitzvah de Rabbanan, right? We've hammered this point already since the beginning of the Masechta, all 3 days ago, that the mitzvah Bedikas is the mitzvah de Rabbanan. So on a mitzvah de Rabbanan, hey mamru, behe mamru. So the Chachamim are the ones that institute this mitzvah Bedika, and at the same time, they're the ones who extend a credibility to people who normally are not given credibility in halacha. And so since the mitzvah Bedika is the din de Rabbanan, so therefore the Chachamim gave credibility, extended credibility to Isha Katan Evan. Okay. But under normal circumstances, meaning on a default setting, when you walk into a house and the rental started on the 14th and you were given the keys after the night of the 14th and for whatever reason you couldn't communicate with the owner and ask him, did you do the bedika? The presumption is the bedika is gone. The bedika was in fact done. And only under the circumstances where there's a reyusa on the chazaka, right? We have indicators that indicate that bedika was not done. So then a report given by anybody that said that Bedika was in fact done, so that report would be believed. Okay. There is a really important Tosfos over here. I'll just touch on it, which is that generally speaking, we have a principle that anything that's biyado, anything that you have control over, so you have nemanus, and that works even on the Raisa level. So over here, the reports that are given by any of these people, so isn't this a case of biyado? Don't they have the ability to do the bedika? And so on that alone, even before the Gemara had to come on to the idea that bedika is a din derabbanan, and that's why they're believed, the Chachamim extended them credibility. So Tosfos over here says, I don't understand. Isn't this a case of biyado? And therefore, even on deraisa, they're believed, right? As per the first daf in Gittin. And Tosfos over there, Tosfos over there discusses this as well, right? When the man comes home and he has dinner, so he doesn't need two witnesses to determine whether or not everything is kosher, meaning his wife is the one who is provided the nemanus to say everything's kosher. Why? It's biyada. In other words, because everything's in her control, and therefore she's given nemanus. So why don't we say the same thing over here in our Gemara? Good. Tosfos discusses this. It's Tosfos Divrei Maschil Himnu Rabbanan B'Derabbanan. Okay. The Ibayilahu. We are now in the middle of the Almud Beis, and we're going to just cover one more discussion for this morning. We're going to go station to station. We'll stop at the two dots. Okay, so let's say the terms of the rental. Okay, so it's including the contract. So the owner says to the renter, I'm renting you my home for Pesach, and I'm telling you right now, I'll take care of the bedika. Right? The bedika is on me. That's the owner says so. And let's make it even more exciting. He wrote in the contract. Good. And now the tenant gets into the house on the 14th. And lo and behold, the owner didn't take care of the bedika. Right? There's chametz everywhere. The owner didn't take care of the mitzvah bedika. Okay. And so now, is this grounds for avoiding the lease? Can now the tenant say to the owner, look, you told me you were going to take care of the bedika. You didn't take care of the bedika. It's clear. The owner's not. You know, the owner admits he didn't take care of the bedika. So is this grounds now to void the contract? So the Gemara says, "Mi havik mekach taus." Are we looking at a mekach taus over here alone? Okay, good. Fantastic question. Really phenomenal answer of the Gemara over here. Really interesting answer of the Gemara. Tashma damar abai lomi bai baser delo yavi agra ubatku denichal elinish lekiyumi mitzvah begufei. So Abai says, look, there are various communities of various menhagim. Some communities, people do the bedika themselves, okay? And then there are some communities, obviously more affluent, where they pay others to do bedika. Okay, outsourcing mitzvos. Okay, in general, the Gemara in Kedushin, second Perek, says that it's much better to do a mitzvah, you personally, than to outsource it to others. But again, as we already pointed out, the mitzvah bedika, to be done properly, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of effort. You really gotta go through the whole house, you gotta go through every corner of the house. Okay, where chametz was used, was eaten. Okay, those details will come later in the Masechta. But anyway, it requires a lot of work. So if you happen to live in a community where people don't outsource the bedika, and people do bedikas themselves, so for sure, says the Gemara, you're not going to want to void the contract. Why? Because you have a mitzvah opportunity. Okay, it's a great Gemara, which incidentally tells us what our attitude should be regarding a mitzvah. Meaning, if the general minhag in the community is that people don't pay to have others do bedika for them, but people do the bedika themselves, then for sure, not only were you given now the house, but you were given a mitzvah opportunity. Like, that's exciting. I understand sometimes our attitudes don't really translate that way, but the Gemara is telling us that really should be our attitude. Ela filibasra diyavi agro batke. So the Gemara says, but let's say that this is the kind of community where people pay others to do bedika. Abai says, I'll tell you what, I'm still telling you that the renter is going to be excited. Why? Because now, even though you're not doing the mitzvah yourself, but you're doing it with your money, meaning you're going to have to pay somebody now to do a bedika, but people are excited to spend their money on mitzvahs. Meaning, the general attitude is that I have a mitzvah opportunity that I'm going to spend money on. Nichalei le'inish, it's good for people. People are generally very comfortable with the idea to fulfill the mitzvah, but mamone using their money. So over here, Abai says, even in that circumstance, you're still afforded a mitzvah opportunity. Not begufo, only by mamona, but still, it's a mitzvah opportunity. Okay. The so basically, Abai's answer to both of the to the one question of if you were given a house where the owner promised he would do the bedika and he didn't do bedika, mekach taos, is it a mekach taos? The answer is no. It's not a mekach taos. Okay. We'll stop over here at the two dots. Tomorrow, right? A good part of tomorrow's daf is dedicated to the issue of when does chametz become aser? At what point precisely? And the drushas that speak to that idea. Okay, which by the way we know the answer to because we saw in today's daf. It's at chatzos. But all that's going to be discussed in much greater detail tomorrow. Let's quickly review the daf. Okay, we start off our daf today on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. We told over three stories this morning. Regarding not sharing bad news. If you have bad news, and you'll communicate it, meaning you'll tell others about the bad news, but you don't want to actually share the bad news. So what you should do in your refined language is you should try to communicate without communicating. Okay, and the Gemara gave us three examples of what that would look like, including the example, the last one, which was on top of Dal Amud Aleph, including the example where Rav had to tell his uncle, Rabbi Chiya, that Rabbi Chiya's both brother and sister, which happens to be Rav's father and mother, and again, as I pointed out in the beginning of Shir today, that's complicated, but it's true. Anyway, so he had to tell his uncle that Rabbi Chiya's brother and sister were nifter, but he told him without telling him, right? And the Gemara told us how to do that. And what I did this morning, by the way, is I only went through one approach, meaning Rashi has two approaches, Tosfos has another approach. Anyway, but he told him without telling him. It allowed the Gemara to just go off on a little bit of a tangent regarding how to be no gavelos for a shmur rechoka. Okay, it's only for a moment. Mixas yom kikulo on the one day. Good. The Gemara talks about people where you could see that their proclivity, their personality is going to inform us in terms of what shevet they're from. Okay, the litigious person's from Dan. The person who loves beachfront properties from Zvulun. Okay. The Gemara asked the question, why did the Chachamim institute the mitzvah of Bedikah on the night prior? In other words, if the Isser of Chametz is only kicking in on midday on Erev Pesach, and an exciting Rashi we saw this morning, where Rashi says it's both the Isser of Achila and the Isser of Bayir Abayimatzei. So if the Isser kicks in on midday, so why did the Chachamim have the Bedikah being done the night prior? The Gemara gives basically two answers to that question. Number one, people are home on the night prior, and number two, because it's just better to hunt down the chametz, to see the chametz with the light that you supply. The Gemara has a number of questions, and then parenthetically, the Gemara also points out that a Talmid Chacham shouldn't start learning on the night of Erev Pesach, Lal Yudale, because he just simply might get too engrossed in his learning. The Gemara has a number of questions regarding owner and tenant. So, number one, the mitzvah bedikas chametz, is it on the owner or is it on the tenant? Answers the Gemara, it's a function of when the keys are handed over. If the keys are handed over before Lel Yudalid, so it's the owner's responsibility. If the keys were handed over after Lel Yudalid, it becomes the tenant's responsibility. Second question, bottom of Dal Amud Aleph, you rent a house and the rental starts on the 14th. Can you presume that the Jewish owner, this question is only relevant if the owner is Jewish, did the Jewish owner, did he do the bedikah, yes or no? What's the presumption, what's the assumption? So the Gemara says, first of all, best piece of advice of the Gemara, and that is call him, ask him, right, communicate. But short of that, though, if you can't do that, what's the chazaka? The Gemara's response is that the chazaka is at its baduk. Unless there's a reyusa, and if there's a reyusa, so then the testimony of anybody would work, even an Isha, even a Katan. The Gemara's last question that we went over this morning is if, let's say, in the rental agreement, the owner says that he's going to do the bedikah, and then the owner does not do the bedikah. So do we call that a mekach taos? The Gemara's answer is no, we don't call that a mekach taos. We call that a mitzvah opportunity. You are given a mitzvah opportunity. That's exciting. You're not going to void the contract just because you're given a mitzvah opportunity. Adkan will stop over here.